I'm reading from Luke chapter 1. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth, in order, a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemeth good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. This is Pastor Gordon Connor. I want to invite you to stay with us. We're going to talk about this same Jesus on Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring.
Thank you once again for joining us today, and just a simple reminder that Standing on the Promises comes to you as a local church broadcast from Greater Vancouver Baptist Church, located in the city of Vancouver on the east side, the corner of Kingsway and Victoria. And certainly we extend an invitation for you to tune in with us, watch us online during these days of shutdown, and as soon as we're able to meet, we'll let you know. We're going to begin today with a beautiful song entitled, Because He Lives.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen One. I believe I overcome by the power of His blood. Amen. Amen.
My song, join the one.
The book of Acts is unique and wonderfully different from the rest of the Bible. It is the source book for the spread of early Christianity. Without it, we know little about the first churches or the work and ministry of the apostles and the early impact of the gospel upon the world. It is the divine record of the spreading power of truth, a flame of faith which rests solely in Jesus Christ. It has a marvelous purpose, tracing the work of the Holy Spirit through the earliest stages of New Testament churches. It follows their development and growth, and it's an exciting book. In some ways, Acts is a counterpart to the gospel accounts. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus offered his life. In Acts, he offers his power. In the Gospels, we see the birth of the New Testament church with Christ as its visible head. In Acts, we see these churches begin to take their first steps of growth without Christ's physical presence, but obviously with him still clearly as the head. The Gospels tell us of Christ crucified and risen. Acts tells us of him ascended and exalted. In the Gospels, we see the Christian life modeled by the perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts, the same Christian life is modeled by imperfect men and women who are indwelt and filled by God the Holy Spirit. It's a great study because it shows us how we can live for the Lord, how we can make our lives count in this sin-darkened world. The human author of this book of Acts was none other than the author of the third gospel, the Gospel of Luke. I read the first verses of Luke a few moments ago by way of introduction. And he begins with a reference here in Acts chapter 1 to that original book, yes, the Gospel of Luke. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." I'm sure this man Theophilus certainly remembered the wonderful words of that earlier scroll that were filled with such power and truth that told him the story of Jesus the Messiah. And this man, I believe, had, in reading those pages, had his life changed and placed his faith in the Christ portrayed by his friend Luke. And now he was ready to read more with a heart of faith. Verse number 3 in Acts chapter 1. "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Luke is the only author to tell us that the post-resurrection ministry of the Lord Jesus covered 40 days. It seems that he appeared at intervals, revealing himself, showing proofs of his resurrection, showing himself to be alive in ways that would be incontestable, and of course, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, one only entered through the door of the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus that night, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, the Lord Jesus lived on this earth as a man, but he was the Son of God. He died as a man and was buried the same way, but no tomb could hold him. He burst the bonds of death and rose the third day, just as he said. A few weeks ago, on our broadcast, we finished a 3-year study of the Gospel of Luke. And in those closing messages, we observed as the Lord Jesus showed himself alive that first morning to Mary Magdalene and the other women. He walked and talked with Cleopas and his wife, disciples who were on their way home to Emmaus. The other gospel accounts record that he appeared to Peter and the apostles without Thomas and later with Thomas. He met them at the seashore of Galilee, and we are told that he appeared to a large crowd of 500 people gathered all at once. Oh, folks, understand the Lord Jesus Christ is the living Savior. That's why the young people could sing, because he lives. Muhammad died and is dead. Buddha died and is dead. Confucius died and is dead. Even Peter died and is dead. And we can go to the graves of many great men and women, political leaders, religious founders, doesn't matter. You go and you can find them. But go to the tomb of the Lord Jesus and you are met with the words, He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He showed himself alive to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and changed his life forever. And he continues to show himself alive to men and women and still changes lives forever. You know, sometimes I think that the reason so many of us have trouble living for the Lord or walking in his presence is that we've not been fully convinced in our heart that Jesus Christ is indeed still alive, and that he wants to do a great work in our lives, that he's shown himself to us. You know, Jesus said in John 14, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Verse 3 again, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Boy, those must have been glorious days for those apostles and the other disciples, and how their hearts were burning, their minds set afire with the truth of Scripture. Verse number 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." The apostles were anxious to get on the move. Let's go, let's do something for God. For 40 days, the appearances of their master brought huge encouragement and confidence, but they were incapable of doing anything of eternal value in themselves. They needed to wait upon God and his timing. They needed to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure that probably stirred up some late-night discussions. What did the Lord mean by that? Would he take them back to Jordan and rebaptize them? Would they hear a voice from heaven like the Lord did? In the midst of this ongoing debate and speculation, the Lord calls the 11 together once again, this time on the upper slopes of the Mount of Olives, overlooking Jerusalem. And there the disciples ask the question that was burning in their hearts and minds. Verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? To which the Lord replied, and he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Boy, that last verse is so familiar to our ears. If we would pause for a moment to reflect, these were the Lord's final earthly words. It's been 2,000 years, and the Lord has not physically set his feet again upon this planet, nor has he spoken audibly to his followers. Could it be that this silence is intended to prevent anything from obscuring, from clouding over these last words, so that they would continue to ring in our hearts and ears? The Lord had laid down in clearest terms the mission for those who will follow him. This is the mission. He left those churches, those assemblies of believers who dare to call themselves New Testament. It is the mandate of biblical Christianity in churches. What a great challenge has been given to us, and how we ought to embrace it with all of our hearts.
I am his, he is mine, Jesus knows my name. I can rest in his arms, he's always the same. When I fall, when I call, Jesus takes my hand, cleansing me, lifting me. Helps me to stand. Always the same, oh, praise his name. will trust and give him my heart. In the dark of the night, when my heart would fear, lovingly, tenderly, my Savior.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You ever stop to wonder what was going on in the minds of the 11 apostles as they watched their Lord and risen Savior ascend up into heaven? Their lives had been turned upside down by the coming of Jesus Christ into their lives. He opened their eyes to see their sin and their need of a Savior, and then when they repented and believed, he adopted them into his family, God's family. He then called them to follow him. And they left all behind and walked with him for 3 years. And they had witnessed so much and learned so much. But they also knew that they had missed so much. And then came the rising opposition and eventually Jesus' arrest and the perversion of a trial, the brutal abuse and the horrible crucifixion. Every hope they had vanished that day. Their hearts were crushed and thrust into despair. But wait, then came Sunday, and their minds were spinning. He was there in their midst, eating broiled fish and honey. These 40 days or so with him gave them back their hope and gave them a purpose to go on. He, was with them. He taught them. He instructed them. He had shown himself alive by many infallible proofs. This all gave them so much conviction and energy to keep on. But here they are again. His words have been clear. He was giving them a job to do for the rest of their lives. It sounded like a commission. Authority was attached to it. The promise of power from the Holy Spirit and the outline given, start at Jerusalem, then reach out and expand. But then this last amazing sight, it just began to go up higher and higher until he reached the clouds, and then he was gone. This had to be hard. They had already lost him once. Did they have to lose him again? It was difficult not to keep looking up to see if they could get some glimpse or maybe he would come back down to them, but there was nothing. What were they to do? He had said, wait, but why? And how were they to know this power or even know the Holy Spirit? You know, the lives of men and women who had met the Lord and believed upon Him were often thrust into uncertainty and fear. There were risks to be taken. Launch out into the deep, he had said to Peter. And their lives had undergone huge changes, and even as they followed Him, those changes happened. And they were still human. They wanted the security and comfort of a settled and consistent lifestyle. Following Jesus had not really produced that. But when He was with them, it was easier to deal with the uncertainties. And now He was gone again. Would they ever see Him? The road ahead looked fearfully uncertain. They looked at each other, then maybe another look up, just maybe. Suddenly, they were aware of others. Two men stood by them in white apparel. Where did they come from? How did they get there without them noticing? Did the Master send them? Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. The two men had a question and then a message. You know, today, so many years later, we look to this verse along with many others to solidify our understanding of the nature of Christ's return. And it beautifully complements the other facets of this truth. In John 14, Jesus said, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. I don't know about you, but those words from those men, I believe angels in our text, this same Jesus, have always brought a certain peace to my heart. You know, we are living in difficult and trying days. There's a lot of uncertainties that face us. And even as we have entered into yet another new year, our hearts are wondering what's going to happen and how are things going to turn out? And you know, I want to share with you today this reality, this same Jesus. We can count on Him. He is not changed. He is not going away. He is going to be here for us all the time. Another verse I'd like to leave with you before we finish today is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. The Bible tells us in verse number 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You know, as I consider life as it is right now, and I want to address all of us who are living through this pandemic, and we had hoped it would be done, but now that we are in another new year, we're looking at more of the same and more of the same uncertainty and not knowing how things are going to go. You know, the Lord gave me some months ago as I was praying and asking God, what's going to happen? What should I be doing? Those simple words, this same Jesus. And you know, it gave me great confidence because I came to understand that God said, no matter what happens here on earth, I'm not changing. I am the same yesterday and today and forever. And the Lord gave me great comfort and great confidence. Am I no longer disturbed by the uncertainties? No, not at all. I am certainly disturbed and bothered. But through it all, I look beyond the current situation and I look to my God who will never change. And we can join ourselves together in our hearts and minds to reflect upon His nature. Dear friend, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know how this has impacted you personally, your family, your job, your church, but it's impacted all of us. And how, as we enter into this new year, we need a solid anchor for our soul. For us at our church, we like to have a theme each year, and this is the one the Lord gave me some months ago, this same Jesus. Can I encourage you today? Let's put our eyes and our hearts and our focus upon Him and know that He is with us. He never changes. And because of that, we can live for Him.
Standing on the Promises comes to you as a ministry of Greater Vancouver Baptist Church. Our services begin on Sunday mornings at 9:45 with Sunday school, followed by our main worship service at 11. We close out the Lord's Day with an evening service at 6:30. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would like to extend an invitation to you, our listeners, to join us for any of these services. If you would like more information about our church and its ministries, why not visit our website at gvbc.ca. You can find directions to our church, a bit of our history, details on our ministries, and even past programs of Standing on the Promises. That web address again is gvbc.ca. If you would like to write to us, our address is 4440 Victoria Drive, Vancouver, British Columbia, V5N4N6.
This is Pastor Gordon Connor. If I can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please be sure to get in touch. May the Lord bless you, and thanks for listening.